Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Strap yourselves in, my friends. We are transmitting worldwide, blasting out on the AM and FM dial, simulcasting on XM from satellite across the globe on channel 166, WWCR, 100,000-watt blowtorch shortwave globally, to all the ships at sea and all the continents of the world, and, of course, number one on the audio streams at Infowars.com. And PrisonPlanet.tv. We're streaming video. Thank you so much for joining us here at the tip of the spear in the fight for human liberty and awakening the sleeping giant that is humanity. We're going to be here for the next 3 hours. Ray McGovern, former top CIA analyst to Ronald Reagan and George Herbert Walker Bush. He did their morning national security briefings. He will be joining us to give us the skinny on the latest on Iran as we continue to track that. The Hill newspaper reports from Capitol Hill, U.S. and Iran inch closer to military conflict, despite the fact we now learn it was Benjamin Netanyahu who canceled the Israeli/U.S. joint drill with their navies right up against the coastline in the Strait of Hormuz with Iran. So why did BB cancel that provocation? That's a good move. Maybe he's actually listening to his advisors now. So we'll be going over that. Also, Iran is having their signals jammed. Their national TV broadcasts are being disrupted. Press TV, national organ of the government of Iran, of Persia. Also, fear and loathing in Central Asia. Will U.S. go to war with Iran? Other report there. Saudis say they can replace Iranian oil supply if the sanctions coming up at the end of this month are enforced. The Iranians have promised to shut down the Strait of Hormuz if that does take place. So look for big developments coming up here in the next 13, 14 days or so. We'll continue to track it here. You can be guaranteed of that. Saudi Arabia targets $100 crude price, as we mentioned. Egypt asks IMF to pay $3.2 billion in standby facility, or they may go completely belly up. Egypt's next parliament to be led by Islamicists. The Washington Post reports, everywhere the globalists go in and kick out their own people. Saddam was a globalist puppet. Mubarak was. Libya had made deals 7 years ago. They put Al-Qaeda in charge. And then I get lectured by these neocon radio hosts. I routinely tune into radio. I just scan through the dial, and once a week or so, hear some talk show host talking total trash about me. I'm sent clips more often than once a week by listeners, but I even hear it myself, where Alex Jones wants the Islamists to get us. Really? Last time I checked, I didn't get the underwear bomber on Christmas Day on the airplane like the State Department under CIA orders. Last time I checked, I didn't get the shoe bomber on the plane under MI6 orders. Last time I checked, I wasn't MI6 running the 7/7 bombings in London. London Telegraph, Fox News had to report. Last time I checked, I wasn't the U.S. Embassy ordered to let Mohammed Atta and seven other hijackers into the U.S. from their Saudi Arabian Al-Qaeda meeting. Last time I checked, I didn't create Al-Qaeda like Zbigniew Brzezinski and Jimmy Carter. Last time I checked, I didn't use them against the Russians or the Serbs. Last time I checked, I didn't land them in Tripoli. Last time I checked, I'm not with Al-Qaeda. Let's get that straight. The criminal banks that run this government and that are running our country into the ground, they run Al-Qaeda. The very people using them to take our liberties and freedoms run them. Duh. All right. I haven't even started my engines yet. Total news blitz. I have never succeeded. I have never come back from break and gotten through more than five articles before I start rampaging down whatever avenue that the tumblers click in my brain into a data connection drive. But I'm telling you, when we come back, I'm going to read every stinking one of these headlines straight ahead and only give one sentence of analysis before plunging back in to the transmission. But it gets more powerful, more revealing. We've got a lady joining us in Pennsylvania, where the state police came after her for not vaccinating her child.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
My friends, I hope that you are strapped in today because we've got a special report coming up in the third hour. We're going to be joined by a mother in Pennsylvania who is a listener, who is a health and sports director at a major organization, but we're going to leave that name out of it here. And I've called, made calls, confirmed all of it. She took her 2.5-year-old in to the pediatrician, and she was basically harassed by the doctor for an hour, pressuring her to take inoculations. And then when she got home over the weekend, two separate times the state police came to her home. And so Rachel Gorman is going to be joining us. She's heard the show before, but it's her father that is a daily listener and told her to email us. And we have contacted her. We have a copy of the letters the state police gave her, and she will break it all down coming up in the third hour. But the reason I say this is a special report is because all over the United States, from California to Alabama, and those are the two news clips we've got actually coming up when she's on with us, is from California and Alabama. The police come to your door with bureaucrats, and they say, we're coming in, we're going to give you inoculations. And in some cases, they're so hyped up in their criminality, they actually will force their way in, take your children, and have a judge say that you're a bad parent and take them, even though there is no law that you have to take the inoculation. It is total tyranny on steroids. And in every state, from Michigan to Texas, from Kansas to Utah, this is now happening, and we have the confirmed mainstream dinosaur media reports. They're not even hiding it, that the feds are now visiting people's homes. Health and Human Services, Centers for Disease Control, families are across the nation, you've seen this in the news, getting letters from the feds. And then if you're uninformed enough to even fill out the report that they order you to fill out, which violates your rights as well, they then use that to send feds or deputized feds. And in some cases, it's not even constables or police. And we have newscast of this. It is health department people. And you open the door and they say, I'm coming in. We got the shot. I mean, can you imagine the ultra mega tyranny of this? I mean, this is Twilight Zone, cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, absurdist craziness, because they don't even have laws. It is just frothing criminality in a psyop. The criminal bureaucracy can't pass a law. They've tried hundreds of times. Every year they try in every state in the union. And so they do the other thing. They run a hoax, and you've all heard it. You've all read it, heard it on radio, and seen it on the nightly news in the month of August. Every day. It's the law to take 50-plus vaccines. We're having a mass inoculation at Zilker Park in Austin, Texas. We're having a mass inoculation at this gymnasium. We're having a mass inoculation to keep your children safe at this facility or at Central Park. It is the same giant, criminal, lying, wicked hoax. And now, in Alabama and California, that's the two places they're going wild. And by the way, they're done going and taking the poor people's kids who they think can't defend themselves and are ignorant. They're now going to the uppity places. And again, that's when you know you are hitting rock bottom. when they went in New Orleans and went in the high and dry areas and giant $15 million mansions, some of the most expensive houses in the country are in New Orleans. They look like the White House. There's a whole bunch of them. It's famous in architecture. That's what's on the news. You've seen it. Just type in gun confiscation New Orleans, and it shows them blowing the doors off safes, taking family's guns, granddaddy's shotgun, everything, throwing them in trucks and stealing them and putting the citizens in handcuffs and going ahead and breaking their nose or tackling grandma. I mean, they want everybody. And they sit there with the cops and the rest of them engaging in these hardcore crimes outside of law. But remember, they did this starting in about 1910 in New York, New Jersey. Then it spread nationwide by the 30s. 34 states had total eugenics laws. Another 10 or so, we've got maps of it in Endgame, had quasi laws that just said you have no rights, so they're unconstitutional laws, can't legalize tyranny. We are going to come because you made under a B+. We actually have the newsreels in Endgame showing the report card. And if the report card said you made under a B+, they would pull up in a truck and they would take you to generally a medical facility, an insane asylum, and they would have medical students chop your uterus out, or literally chop your testicles off. And people say, well, come on, I get dumb emails when I'm showing the newsreels of this, and I'm sorry to get graphic, this is medical stuff we're talking about here, this is what happened, this is history. 500,000 people plus on record just up to the 40s did it. They estimate another 500,000 or more, but the numbers were kept more secret up until 1987 when Oregon was the last state to stop doing it. And I've had the guest on about this. You say, but they could, there's other ways to sterilize a woman, you know, just tie their tubes or whatever, or do the same with a man. They wanted it bloody. They wanted it to be brutal. It was all about a bunch of medical students having fun and learning that you're an animal. It's about twisting medicine. Medicine is always used as the tip of the spear in tyranny. And if you don't know about the Soviet Union or the Chi-Coms or the Nazis and medical tyranny, or medical tyranny in England or medical tyranny in France with the Panopticon, if you don't know what that is, you better learn, because this is the philosophy and this is what we're under. And I have had family who doesn't vaccinate, and they've been threatened. Okay, well, you know, the doctor says I may call Child Protective Services on you. This is a neglect. There's no law, but they've got eugenics courts set up in 1910 in New York by the Rockefeller family on record. Margaret Sanger, all of them came out of New York, and they set the precedent with the mentally handicapped and folks that it looked like it was reasonable to some. They always start with, you know, with the most vulnerable, and then they beta test and then they move on. And they set this up all across the United States. And the family courts, people ask, how is it a judge? Well, I thought you get a jury. Oh, it's to protect the children. No, they were health department eugenics. Write this down. Racial hygiene courts. Write that down. Just type it in. You'll get New York Times best-selling history books about it. You'll see the actual documents, university reports. Just type in racial hygiene courts, 1910 New York. Never had family courts. Never had. Family courts are demonic Nazi organizations of pure, unmitigated evil. Previously, if somebody was beating their child with a tire iron, that's deadly assault, and daddy or cousin Bubba goes to prison. And back in the old days, the cops pulled up, back when they were actually going after criminals, and somebody beat their kid and knocked their teeth out, well, you're going to get a few lumps on the head on the way to the jailhouse. It's like that Johnny Cash song, he's in the jailhouse now. We ought to go out to break with that, see if you can pull up Johnny Cash, he's in the jailhouse now. Thank you. Or we can come back out of break with it. All right, I'm going to come back from break and get into all the news that's got me so wound up. I mean, because I've got to somehow cover all of this. There's got to be more than 100 articles here, each one more insane after the next. But coming up, I'm going to expose in the third hour today the gigantic hoax the biblically sized, galactic sized, off the chart fraud that is the family courts in all of this, where the state police come after you now. If you're not shooting your kid up, and I've got articles here today about more people dying, getting the flu shot. You take your child in to get the shot. Sometimes they die right on the spot. And that's when you're lucky. Because it's now even come out in Dinosaur Press that many of the children, they wonder why the babies die. It's always after the vaccines. And then they try to blame the parent. And they do a CAT scan. There's blood on the brain. They say, you must have beat your child. And it turns out the hospitals know full well they've killed your child. But they're going to blame you for it. They're going to blame you when your baby has an autoimmune response and convulsions, as top brain scientists and neurologists like Dr. Blaylock have broken down here. Sudden infant death syndrome and the rest of it. Yeah, you're blessed if they have the convulsion and the blood starts running out their nose right there on the spot. But usually it happens that night. You put the 18-month-old down, or you put the newborn baby down who just got their shots. You put them down, and they either wake up dead, or the 18-month-old's talking, drawing, laughing, learning their ABCs. We're going to go to break, and when the next morning Junior wakes up, Junior ain't there no more. Because the eugenicist dropped by.
Well, I want for the man named Gamble. He used to rock beer and gamble. He tried anything.
All right, we'll be right back.
He was out Tom Cat one night.
That's not Johnny Cash, but I guess it'll do.
And a big police.
We'll be right back.
He's in a jet hot now.
I had a friend named Bill Camel. He used to rob, steal, and gamble. And on the side he'd beg, so he mopped up. I told him he shouldn't do it, and Camel told me he knew it. So he started begging with a bucket instead of a cup. He's in the jailhouse now.
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 Well, Camel flubbed his dub when he wore a tuxedo to the country club. He's in the jailhouse now.
He's in the jailhouse now.
Yoga boy. Oh, yoga.
Yeah, that's Johnny Cash with In the Jailhouse Now. We were playing a local loss tonight earlier. What's that fellow's name you said? Doug Somm.
I met his old gal, Sadie.
You boys got to turn that microphone up. I mean, I've got to be psychic almost to be able to hear you when you talk over that thing. It's always so low. Well, no, it's an electro voice. If you guys got it like 9 feet away from me, I can't even hear you. It's no big deal. It's just like an ongoing nightmare. Never been able to hear what you say. Okay, we are back live. We do have Ray McGovern, former top CIA analyst, to break down the latest on Iran for about 30 minutes with us at the start of the next hour. Then we've got another guest, a lady who they're sending the CPS after with the state police because she said, no, I'm not going to take the vaccines for my daughter. Sorry. So that is coming up. But after I cover the news and after I have Ray McGovern on with us, I am going to open the phones up and go to some of your phone calls. But I do have trouble controlling myself when I see the state of California inoculating children without parental consent. So I guess I've got to correct myself when I said in the last segment that in no state is it the law your children be vaccinated. I forgot that Governor Brown, what, 4 months ago, did sign a bill saying they will give your children shots without your consent. They're claiming children as young as 11 now have parental control. So your 11-year-old's got to get permission from you to go to the zoo or go to the planetarium. They go on a field trip. But they don't need that for an abortion or for the state to convince your child to take the shot. Of course, under common law, can a 20-year-old man convince a 12-year-old girl to have sex with them? No, because even if the 12-year-old says they consent, they're a minor. This is just common sense. But see, the criminal state, the lawless, anti-American criminal state of California says, we're going to give your children shots and we're going to give them abortions, and there's nothing you're going to do about it. Now, previous to that, we have newscasts where they come to your house and order your child vaccinated. And, you know, cops sit there, they got their nightsticks and their tasers. And, of course, the cops do think it's the law. They're like the general public. They don't know their head from a hole in the ground. They could probably barely count to 10, like the fluoride head general population. I don't hate cops. I just hate stupid, ignorant people that'll carry out any order they're given. And it'll ruin your own future. All right, I'm sorry. You know, this is a short segment. I'm going to go to break, and I'm going to try to compose myself. But what happens is I stay up late at night researching. I research in the morning. I get in here. There's stacks of news they've printed. Some of it I've seen, other news I haven't. And it just makes my head completely spin. I mean, I knew this was coming. They announced 2 years ago. They said Austin will adopt the Copenhagen Treaty. And how we'll adopt it, even though the Congress didn't sign on to it, or the president tried to, but can't without Congress. We're going to adopt the Copenhagen Treaty, and we're going to double the average Austin power person customer within the next 3 years. And here we are 2 years later, and they're implementing it. It already went up some last year, about a 40% increase. That's all in the Austin American Statesman and Your News Now. Here in front of me, local news outlets. And I was listening to the city council meeting this morning on the radio. They're having a special session, and they're debating whether it should be an 80% increase this year alone on the average user over the 40% last year, or whether it should just be 40% again. And the good guys are just for the 40, and the bad guys are for the 80. Of course, they're all bad, but they give you a false choice. That's psychological warfare. And they admit it's going to bankrupt a lot of people, but that's just the way it is. And they said it's for the earth. That's right. That's right. Give Formula One $50 million in tax breaks and then just get the money from little old ladies. In fact, they say this year alone with these rate increases in the next 11 months...
Standing by the door, he fell in love with an Indian maid over in the antique store. Kalijah just stood there and never let it show, so she could never answer yes or no. He always wore his Sunday feathers and held a Tommy Hall. The maiden wore her beads and braids and hoped someday he'd talk. Kalijah, too stubborn to ever show a sign, because his heart was made of knotty pine. Poor old Kalijah, he never got a kiss. Poor Kalijah, he don't know what he missed. Is any wonder that his face is red? Kalijah, that poor old wooden head.
Just go ahead and cover this piece of news first, since I already started getting to it before the last segment ended. Your News Now, the Austin American Statesman, all report, and they're having a debate about this. They're saying that it is for the earth. Actually, in the city council of Austin, this is a beta test for the rest of the country and the world, for that matter. In fact, Bloomberg even reports that Austin is the test case to just charge people more for electricity. And they say to teach you to use less so that they can pay to build Formula One racetracks and give their buddies all sorts of tax breaks and incentives. And they plan on raising $160 million extra just this year alone by the 80% tax rate increase for power. Now, of course, government buildings and government affiliate contractors, they're exempt from this. The churches, though, are going to have their rates raised. And they just announce it and they keep saying, but it's for the earth. No, it's a criminal enterprise. And then I was reading some of the Statesman articles and following the debate in the city council this morning on the radio. One of the local stations was airing pieces of it. And they were saying, well, people use too much power and we've got too many power plants in America. And so overall, electric rates have dropped in some areas of the country. We need to do this to teach people that coal and natural gas aren't good options and that we need to use less. I mean, I'm hearing post-industrial world, America having power is bad. Mexico can have all the power plants it wants. China can build a couple new ones a week. We can't have any. But General Electric, who is exempt from all this, they can keep their plants operating. Because they basically run the White House. And they have the patent on the Curly Q, mercury-filled, toxic, headache-inducing light bulb, the horrible fluorescence that they're, by law, by executive fiat, making us adopt. Congress has now started to repeal that, but the bureaucracy still just rolls forward. What type of toilet you can have, what type of light bulb, but under BioShield, hundreds of facilities, 36 government, hundreds and hundreds of other subsidiary universities and private firms, weaponizing every zoological and human transmitted disease you can imagine to airborne with 90%+ kill rates. Nobody's worried about that environmentally. Nobody's worried about hundreds of species being spliced with each other or the honeybees dying or every study showing GMO corn, potatoes, maize, soybeans within three generations just totally mutating, sterilizing, and killing every monkey species, rat species you give it to. And of course, monkeys, you can get them going on a five-year cycle. So in 15 years, you can have a three-generation study. They got them. With rats, you can have that in 1 year, three-generation study. Of course, humans, it's a 20-year cycle on average, and we're just now seeing the numbers. Sperm rate almost completely down to nothing. Total collapse, cancer exploding everywhere, absolute bedlam, just all sorts of diseases, neurological disorders, diabetes off the chart, and we're just a generation and a half or so into this. Can you imagine in 10 years? Can you imagine in 20? And of course, the corporate dinosaur media will never tell you why this is happening. They'll just tell you, here's drug companies that'll treat the disease the globalists have given you. Isn't that just special and cutesy cake? Yeah, you bet I'm angry. And in fact, I am so angry right now that I'm not going to blow up, because I've learned that when I don't control myself and I have complete blow-ups, then I don't have energy to work until 8 o'clock at night like I have to this evening. Because I got the TV show tonight, I got meetings, I've got interviews I got to do, I got all this to do, and I cannot explode. But as a primitive human, faced with all this, at a certain point, you start getting hopping mad. Because, you know, in 5000 BC or whatever, most problems could be solved by stomping somebody. And so my brain just keeps saying, just give me somebody to stomp. Just show me the enemy. But we're not going to defeat this that way at this phase. We have got to just get people to realize just how evil the government and special interests are and stop being naive. But, I mean, the city council is a group of outrageous scum, just like California. Total globalist, anti-human. They're not liberals. They're thieves that sell you it's for the earth. So that the contractors and the power sellers that sell to Austin Energy, and we're told it's government getting this money. No, it's not. It's the special interests that sell the power to Austin. The same special interest that helped shut down the city-controlled utilities so that we couldn't produce our own power. They're shutting power plants down all over the country. And I have to sit here and 40% last year, 80% this year, and another 80% increase next year. I mean, just highway, naked, flaming, stealing with both hands. And they're so manipulative. If we can just teach people these tricks, they're on the news going, well, the mayor, you know, says we should only increase it by 40%, not 80, like the rest of the council wants. And then it's like, oh, the mayor, he's the good guy. He only wants to raise it on old ladies by 40%. How nice of him. I mean, is there, that trick is so elementary that it makes me want to throw up. I mean, only, see, people think when they're self-centered and don't care about politics and just say, oh, you can't affect change, why should I get involved, that that's somehow some kind of moral shield, and that if you just don't care, that you're immune. No, when you don't care, the wolves eat your sheep like rump for dinner. And I hear the people complain, I don't know why my power's going up. I hear it all the time. We got to do something. Well, you're not going to do anything until you kick out the electronic voting machines where I live. And it's the same in many other cities. I mean, you think these crooks are here to just take over the power supply and the water supply and jack up your prices? They're here to take control. They're criminals. Of course there's no voting in Austin. So you say, what do? You sue them. You protest them. You point out it's a fraud. You go back to original paper ballots, counted precinct by precinct, and then tallied up publicly. But if you don't face up the fact that many cities are 100% mafia run, Austin, Texas, Chicago, Illinois, New York, New York, Los Angeles, California, you mean Detroit, these are criminal, 100% devilish enterprises with a bunch of cattle out there. Okay, I'm going to stop right there. Let me just do what I said I was going to do at the very start. Let's see if I can do it. Journalist sues Obama over indefinite detention law. NDAA provision could be one-way ticket to Gitmo for protesters, claims class action lawsuit. Well, yeah, they're already trying to take people's kids outside of law for not taking shots. Here's another one. Romney rattled by Republican rivals. Mitt Romney, unnerved in South Carolina debate after being challenged over tax returns and negative campaigning. Yeah, Ron Paul is number two right behind him, and Mitt Romney is as globalist as Newt Gingrich or Rick Perry, even worse than Rick Perry. That's hard to say. It's true. I mean, he's a ringer, folks. It's either Ron Paul or nobody. And all you Republicans going, well, I'll go for Mitt Romney. He's going to take a dive like Bob Dole did in 1996. Just watch. Continuing here. Oh, I've gotten through two articles. Business group claims Obama creating constitutional crisis over all the different things he's doing. Launching wars without congressional approval, making recess appointments. We never even brought him before Congress. Of course he is. Ron Paul tied with Romney as most electable Republican. Establishment myth that Paul is unelectable debunked yet again. And I hear these local media prostitutes on air repeating that, well, he just can't win. They're not even consciously paid to lie like that. The average cattle brain out there, the average sheephead, thinks that it's cool and trendy to parrot what talking heads say. They watch political shows, and then they think that's real slick and highbrow, and then they go and they parrot what is said and then feel like they're real smart. You know what? I could go get a parrot and train it to talk, too, and repeat what I say. Here's another one. This is just some of the financial news here. Senator pushes for GMO labeling in Washington State. That is super good news. You have a right to know what's in there. That's just some of the news in that stack. I mean, I'm just randomly picking up one of the stacks here. Look at this headline. U.S. and Iran inch closer to military conflict, The Hill. Here's another one. Somebody's jamming Iranian national TV signals. The Iranian government's announced via press TV. Saudis are saying, don't worry about Iran. They close the Strait of Hormuz at the end of the month when sanctions are put on them and their gas is cut off. They ship out oil, ship back in refined gas because the West has blocked them getting oil field equipment or refinery equipment to be able to refine it. So, you know, they're saying they can supply that. Many analysts say that's not true. Look at this article. Healthy 7-year-old girl dies in mother's arms after flu shot. And then it links to the articles that break it all down. The incredible death rates worldwide. It says on the insert it can kill you, but so what? Here's another one. Eugenics in action. 3-year-old girl denied kidney transplant because she is, quote, mentally retarded, she's told. Yeah, in Endgame, in Texas at the state legislature, they asked the head of the state psychiatry board, they say, why are over 2/3 of the foster kids on a whole bunch of psychotropics? He goes, they have bad genes. They come from bad gene pools. See, eugenics is the real religion. And as long as you're not aware of the game that's being played with you, you're going to lose. EPA drops jackboot on necks of couple daring to build on their own land. And as a report going to the Supreme Court, Ron Paul talked about it yesterday. You've bought your property, you own it. They just come along and say, if water ever stands on your property, anywhere, during a rainstorm, it's a wetland, and they can take control of your land and then charge you for taking your land. Oh, that's actually in the Supreme Court case. You know, you don't just have your land taken. They charge you for the assessment to have it taken. And that ties in with another article coming up here in a moment out of Canada. Medicine of the future arrives in High Street as pharmacy offers pills with edible microchips to help doctors monitor patients' health. Here's another one. The chips that are good for you. Pharmacy selling edible microchips. Here's another one. War on drugs transferred to private mercenaries, including Blackwater. And it breaks it all down. That's an article out of Infowars.com. It also links to, as a source, BBC. Here's some more of the articles that I want to get into. All over the country, thug youth are beating people to death for enjoyment. And you notice it's L.A., Chicago, and New York with their victim disarmament legislation, and the police never can bust anybody or never get anybody in trouble, and the few times they do, the person gets a couple years in jail for beating someone to death. I mean, you come over to my car and try to drag me out, I'm just going to shoot you. I'm going to reach right over and pull up my legally sawed-off shotgun. It's sawed-off. It's a bounty hunter sawed right off the legal limit. Store-bought, sawed-off shotgun, and I'm not going to think. You start trying to break in my car, I'm going to shove it in your face, and I'm going to shoot you with buckshot. Prepare to die. But, of course, that stuff doesn't go on in Texas because they know half the people driving around out there will kill you, these little scumbag cowards. They like beating up old ladies and beating up old men. I watch these gangbangers get out and beat old men to death. They need to have their guts completely stomped out of them. Bunch of scum cowards. All right, I'm done talking about that. Let's go ahead and get to this report right here. It just gets more and more insane. And this is being reported on in the Toronto Star. You name it. In fact, guys, pull this article up. It's the headline, homeowner fined $5,200 for growing cucumbers, plans suit. Now, the same thing's being done in England, the same thing's now starting in the United States. And, you know, you've seen where they say you can't have a garden in your backyard. We have to inspect it because it might be drugs. And, of course, you got to pay for the inspection. Or you can't have a garden in your front yard either because that's objectionable. Even in the countryside, they're now saying this in many areas. Because it's all about control over independent people. It's all about control over people that want to be self-sufficient. Oh, you can't sell Girl Scout cookies. You can't have lemonade stands. We're going to arrest you. You can't be Amish selling a neighbor milk or cheese. It's all about driving people into submission. Now, here's the report. Homeowner fined $5,200 for growing cucumbers. Plans suit. A Canadian homeowner, this is not a joke, says there is no way he will pay $5,200 fine in Mission, BC for growing cucumbers in his basement. Lee Grotto, who has lived in the home for 30 years, said he's ready to join an imminent class action lawsuit against the municipality. Grow op bylaw inspections, reports Sam Cooper at Sports Media News. So what they do is they have the repairmen, the phone company people, the cable installers are all spies. And they come to you and they say, we've got to report you're growing vegetables. They don't even say it's marijuana. And they come to you and they say, we're going to inspect you now. We're going to show you the headline there if you're watching on PrisonPlanet.tv. We show folks the headline and then scroll down. And then it goes over it. A number of citizens led by Stacey Groundlock said their homes were illegally searched for marijuana grow ops, resulting in them being slapped with fees and repair orders. Did you hear that? They come in your house without a warrant, and then when it's cucumbers or tomatoes, because it's real cold up there, and a lot of people have greenhouses, you know, in the shed or the basement, they then fine you upwards of $10,000 or more. You're not even going to believe this. But this is the tyranny. This is the evil. This is the oppression. Because criminals run the government. I mean, the government ships in most of the drugs, folks. All right, I'm going to go back into this Abbotsville Times report. They've also had similar reports in the Toronto Star and others. Papers across Canada. This is happening from the east to the west. But before we do that, remember this broadcast is listener supported. We are an alternative media institution that is growing and dominating and dwarfing so-called mainstream dinosaur, know-it-all, poser, teleprompter, reader, fancy suit media. But when you go to InfoWarsTeam.com and check out the high-quality vitamins and minerals that I personally have scoured the earth, you know, to discover the best products available. When you buy Tangy Tangerine, Beyond Tangy Tangerine, Pollen Burst, Rebound, and other great products there, it also supports this transmission at InfoWarsTeam.com. We also have links to it in the online video bookstore shopping cart at InfoWars.com. You can get all of my films for 70%+ off, 18 DVDs, $99.95. Now, we're carrying other books and videos like Deliberate Dumbing Down, how they destroyed our educational system by design from an insider whistleblower, the head of policy, Department of Education. We have the incredible false flag film, Noble Lie, exposing Oklahoma City as an inside job. They're all available at InfoWars.com. And we're also running a 15-day free trial right now at InfoWarsNews.com or PrisonPlanet.tv. So you can watch the radio show live in higher res, the higher quality podcast, all of my films, expanded extras, and InfoWars Nightly News. Okay, again, I'm reading this article. We'll put it back on screen out of the Abbotsville Times. And you cannot make up the magnitude of this. Homeowner fined $5,200 for growing cucumbers, planned suit. So, they fly over your house and they say, we see unusual heat resonance, or they spy on your power bill. And the police are in the article and it says you're using too much power for, say, three people living here. So they come without a warrant, demand to come in, and then never leave when marijuana is not found. They fine you for mold or for water damage. See, they use zoning rules to harass you out of existence and slap. Some of these fines are over $20,000. Listen to this. And this is coming to the U.S. This is now being rolled in. This is the feudalism terrorism system where they just, bureaucrats just feed on us. A number of citizens led by Stacey Goenlock, who we're going to get on the show, said their homes were illegally searched for marijuana grow ops. That's how they sold the law. Resulting in them being slapped with fees and repair orders, sometimes exceeding $10,000, all on flimsy evidence. Grado, 67, said he has never grown pot. He said it was laughable. But see, it doesn't matter that pot wasn't found. It's just, it's pot, so you're bad. Grado, 67, said he's never grown pot. He said that laughable evidence against him consists of pictures of some dirt on the basement wall and a furnace pipe going up the chimney where it should be. Well, that's just evidence. It's upsetting they can do this, said Grotto. We were growing cucumbers in the basement because they wouldn't take outside. Groenlock said he was searched in 09 and hit with thousands in fees and repair orders despite never growing marijuana in his home. A lawyer will probably be filing his civil suit in the next few days, he said. I'm going to the first step forward, he said. And then it goes on to describe it right here in the article. What's worse, inspectors don't even have to find any marijuana. If they find what they deem residual evidence, such as high mold readings, they charge homeowners search fees. That's where you pay to be abused. And order other expensive repairs. If a homeowner doesn't comply, their homes are tagged under the bylaw and effectively condemned as unsafe and unusable. And I mean, oh my God, we are in so much trouble. And then I've got it out of England, where it was a guinea pig. Bradford cannabis raid finds guinea pig heater. You have a heater for your guinea pig. Here comes the SWAT team.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Okay, Ray McGovern's going to be with us for just two segments. Former top CIA analyst Ronald Reagan, George Bush Sr. coming up in the next segment. Then I'm going to open the phones up. In fact, if you want to go ahead and get lined up, quarterback this, folks, you want to call in about any of the issues I've already raised, I'd like to hear from Austinites if you can get on. You can get through about 40% rate increase on average last year. The city says 80%, and they say it's for the earth. So private companies make a bigger profit by shutting down their competition, and the city regulates it so you pay more artificially, and then says it's for the earth. The General Electric power plants supplying Austin make more money. I mean, it is so outlandishly, nakedly criminal. So the toll-free number to join us is 800-259-9231. 800-259-9231. What do you think about in the U.S., Canada, and England, and Australia and New Zealand, they fly over your house with helicopters or they check your power bill. And when they see that you're using more power than you should, surveilling you without warrants, they come and SWAT team your house. And when no marijuana is found, they bring in house inspectors to find leaks or windows that don't have the right caulking and give you fines. It's the message of you're always wrong. You're always a criminal. We, the nanny state, are always right. And we're going to eat out your substance. They've told all these counties and cities, you're going to lose your jobs unless you raise more money, because the city's all invested in derivatives and are basically bankrupted by design. So now they've got to get even more money to give it to the bankers that, you know, control their little criminal city manager so they can do that. And no amount of squeezing will ever get you enough money to keep your job. In 3 or 4 years, it's already begun in some areas. After you're done exsanguinating, sucking your county and city dry, they're going to fire most of you. So suck everything you can out of everybody, pay it to the bankers that suck all the money out of your town, and then get ready to be fired. Because I've talked to the police and others, they tell them, they say, you got to raise more money or you're going to get laid off or you're going to get your pay cut. And you got to do this. You got to do this. Look at this article I was just reading. It says, I'm looking for the part here where it says they track your power consumption. And it says that once they see that you're using too much power, that's when they come to your house and demand to inspect it. Here it is. Grow op bylaw programs sound like a bad dream based on provincial legislation. They allow municipal inspectors to enter homes, which what they deem, so they're God now. See, no judge, no jury, no. And this is in the U.S., England, and Canada. They're all under common law in Canada as well. Quote, abnormally high electricity usage, about 93 kilowatts or more a day, and look for evidence. See, they look in your house without a warrant for the evidence of illegal marijuana grow ops for public safety. And what's worse, when no marijuana is found, you are always charged for the inspection. Oh, isn't that loving? And of course, now people that have snakes, lizards, or guinea pigs. Here's the BBC. Bradford cannabis raid finds guinea pig heater. I talked to an Austin cop more than a decade ago, and he said, oh, yeah, a lot of times, yeah, we check people's power bills, and we broke into one house. We had a warrant, but we broke in. The lady was gone. So it was like a 90-something-year-old retired UT professor, they found out, who had a whole bunch of fish tanks. She was a fish scientist. I forget the name of that. I know a person that studies birds is an ornithologist. And there was dozens of fish tanks in there, and they just left. Never even told her they were there. But hey, that's watching your power consumption. I mean, again, it's just, wasn't the Bill of Rights and Constitution, wasn't the Magna Carta nice in England and Canada, New Zealand, Australia? I guess we had these basic liberties for reasons, huh?
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Every day we spend at least half an hour covering Iran, because if there's a war with Iran, the different possibilities run from bad to worse. That's why the last two chairmen of the Joint Chiefs of Staff have told Israel, do not attack Iran. That's why the former head of Mossad basically got fired a year ago by Bibi Netanyahu for saying don't do it. That's why most of his general staff have said don't do it. Now, it's now being reported that Netanyahu was the guy 2 days ago that canceled the naval drill and ground drills with the U.S., basically steaming towards a confrontation in the Strait of Hormuz for the Iranians. The Iranians, because of their military bases being blown up and their scientists being assassinated, have said, okay, we'll stop denying that you're engaged in guerrilla warfare and sabotage against us, because our public now knows you're doing it. And yeah, we look weak, so we'll just attack your ships if you come back through the Strait of Hormuz, which is a wild escalation. And the head of their parliamentary intelligence arm said, we'll attack Tel Aviv and New York in asymmetrical warfare, a huge escalation. And I didn't just believe the Jerusalem Post when I saw that 2 weeks ago. I went to the Iranian news agencies, Press TV and others, and they did say that. So joining us is Ray McGovern to break down the huge escalations. Here is the Hill newspaper today. U.S. and Iran inch closer to military conflict. The sanctions are going on, which are crippling at the end of the month against the gasoline that they import. They export raw oil, they import gas, because the West for decades won't let them ship in refinery equipment. Halliburton gave themselves a waiver in the White House where they could sell them some. And so what they have is Halliburton. Incredible corruption here by the folks lecturing us on how evil Iran is. Ray McGovern, of course, is an Army veteran, Vietnam era, and also, of course, a top CIA analyst to Ronald Reagan and George Bush Sr. And he's also a political activist and writes for a great organization, consortiumnews.com. And that's the short bio. But he's an analyst, and he's given us stunningly accurate information in the last decade. Ray, looking at this, we're seeing evidence of them not having the naval confrontation, but then separately we're hearing that on Capitol Hill it's moving closer to confrontation. You've got the sources, both former and current intelligence. What is your intel, sir, on where we are right now on that doomsday clock?
Well, Alex, I think the big news is the cancellation of the very large joint exercises that had been planned for this spring with Israel, and the United States. This is a biggie. There were several thousand U.S. troops already deployed to Israel, already there, still there, ready to do this exercise. So the reason why it's been canceled, I think Obama has finally been persuaded that he has to put the brakes on Israel and its attempts to start something with Iran, something that he would drag the United States into. Things are very dicey there. As you probably know, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, Martin Dempsey, is due in Israel, I believe, tomorrow or Thursday to talk to his opposite numbers. Now, what's the bottom line for me? Well, the bottom line for me still is how seriously Benjamin Netanyahu and his defense minister, Ehud Barak, how seriously they take our president. Do they believe that he would have the courage not to support Israeli military? Were they to provoke or to start some military action against Iran? Or do they think he's a wuss? Pardon the expression. That's in the Bronx. That's what we would call a person who would not even stand up for his sister, the worst possible crime. Do they think that they can put their right thumb on their nose and wiggle the rest of their fingers when he tells them, please don't build any more settlements, or please don't attack the U.S. boat to Gaza? Or, well, you know, they are used to thumbing their nose at the president and receiving great applause from our standing Congress people every time he comes to address a joint meeting of Congress. So the most important thing is how seriously the Israelis take our president when he apparently told Netanyahu on the phone last Thursday, please, please don't start a war against Iran. Do they have to take that seriously? Or in more Israeli fashion, could they start something and rather than ask for permission or even tell us about it, ask for sort of quasi-forgiveness after the die is cast? I don't know, but it's getting very, very dicey there. And the president's record in facing into what the Israelis want to do on this or that issue has not been good. And so I continue to worry, even though this sign of the canceled exercise is a very positive sign. Let me just add a footnote here, Alex. I'm not the president, but if I were, I wouldn't be sending all my officials to Tel Aviv. You know, he sent Panetta last month, and now he's sending the head of the armed forces, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, Dempsey. I would say, look, send your head of the IDF, send your equivalent to the chairman of the Joint
Chiefs. It does look like the United States is being summoned. It looks like the tail is wagging the dog.
Yeah, it looks like we're in the role of the person making the entreaty. Please, please don't do this. And I would expect that at least there would be a reciprocal arrangement if our Secretary of Defense Panetta is going to go to Tel Aviv. At least they could ask the head of their armed forces, their chairman of the Joint Chief of Staff equivalent, to come here. And you know, it really matters what the locale is. And if you want to read somebody the Riot Act, as to his great credit, Admiral Mullen did 2 years ago when it looked like the Israelis were about to do what they may be about to do now, he went over there and he made a speech as soon as he arrived in Jerusalem. And he said, you know, a war with Iran would be a very, very, very bad idea.
And he raised the USS Liberty, which was unprecedented.
That's exactly right. So, you know, if you want to underscore how serious the situation is, you pick a Navy admiral who knows about the USS Liberty, who knows how easy it is to get into a fighting match, either deliberately or by accident in a close place like the Persian Gulf. Now, Dempsey, he doesn't, you know, the jury is out on Dempsey, but the way he bubbled up to the top, so to speak, suggests to me that he's more a creature of the Pentagon system, where generals promote other generals depending on how often they've been able to avoid being involved in any controversy.
All right, well, let's expand on this, Ray. What changed in the last 4 to 5 days? And I guess it must be face-saving then. If reportedly Obama said don't do this, and then now Netanyahu says he canceled it, as U.S. and Israeli papers are reporting. What changed? I mean, from what I've seen, the Russian foreign minister and the deputy prime minister, as you know, came out and said, this is an attack on our national interest, which is a signal for we'll get involved. The Chinese have said we'll get involved because 20% of their oil comes out of Iran. Did that enter into this, the fact that Russia and China made noises that they're not going to sit on the sidelines?
Well, Alex, first off, I would say that the word that Netanyahu canceled the exercises is very suspect. I would say that that's a cover story. Nobody wants to embarrass the Israelis, even though we do embarrass them by canceling these exercises. But I'm 99% sure that it was the White House canceled them, and they're allowing the Israelis to say, oh, no, Netanyahu canceled them.
Is that because they got intel that the Iranians were going to open up on the ships? Because the Iranians said, you've got one warning, don't come back through here.
Yeah. Well, you know, the strait is not all that wide, the port that's navigable. The Iranians can, in fact, do that. I don't think the Iranian government would do that deliberately, but as I say, it's so dicey, so iffy, and so susceptible of provocation or accident there that any sober-minded general or president would try to do something. Now, what I think was key here was the assassination of that young scientist. Apparently, he was a chemical scientist.
The deputy head of that enrichment program.
Right, yeah. Now, that was clearly a Mossad operation. Everyone pretty much concedes that now. And, you know, not only was that pretty heinous, I mean, have you seen the picture of the scientist's family? And,
yes.
You know, I mean, and then the head of the spokesman of the Israeli Defense Forces says, well, I'm not going to shed a tear over it, you know? And the bluster and the kind of arrogance that was displayed there suggests to me that was very, very really a unilateral Israeli operation. They have all that capability. They don't need the CIA to help them on those kinds of things. And so they not only did it, but they bragged about it. It was the fifth one, and they didn't so much as tell Hillary Clinton or anybody else they were going to do it. Right at this very dicey time, okay? It looked very much to everyone who...
And so that angered the power structure that they weren't consulted on the escalation.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, when things are so labile, as the Germans would say, they're so dicey in the streets in the Persian Gulf, you don't want people to do this on their own hook, okay? And have the U.S. Automatically blamed for it together with the Israelis. So it was then that something very curious happened, Alex, and this is kind of interesting.
Well, stay there, Ray. We're going to come right back. Tell us about this on the other side.
Okay.
And you know, where all of this is going. And again, folks, we're not endorsing the mullahs and the Iranians. We are not endorsing what could cause World War III and $7 or more a gallon gas. We're trying to have cooler heads prevail here. And that's why most of the Israeli power structure doesn't want a war as well. The question is, why do others want it? Okay, we are back. Ray McGovern, retired former top CIA analyst, joins us. Writes, of course, for Consortium News. We also posted at Infowars.com. Finish your point about the Israelis not checking with the United States, and you think that's what changed this. And then I want to go back to, I am seeing more hawkish rhetoric suddenly from the Iranians, and I didn't normally see that in the past. And I wanted to ask you why we're seeing some of those statements in your view, Ray.
Okay. Yeah, what I was starting to say was a new development that has been around for a long time, but just had not been released or surfaced. It has to do with the Israelis going around recruiting people in Iran and other places like that, posing as CIA officers. It's kind of a false flag recruitment. It's done all the time, but it's usually done either with the permission of, or at least the tacit admission that this happens when you use an ally's name. What the Israelis were doing was trying to recruit terrorists, acknowledged to be terrorists. This is Jundullah is one group there in Iran, and they were posing as CIA case officers. Now that's been known for years within the CIA, and all of a sudden this week it surfaces. All right, and it surfaces in such a way as to say, the CIA professionals are really, really ticked off at this. There is a certain honor among thieves, if I can put it that way. There is a certain regime that you don't do this to a close ally's intelligence service. And the Israelis are doing it all the time, and especially with respect to Iran, to assassinate folks and stuff like that. Now, what I want to pick up on as your earlier question just before we went to break, Alex, where you said, well, why would anybody want a war? Okay. Now, let me be clear here. Everybody's thinking that the nuclear weapon issue is the biggie. It's not. Let me say it. Let me be clear, as the president would say. All right. The Israelis and the United States are not primarily motivated by fear of a nuclear weapon in Iran's hands. Okay? The Secretary of Defense, Sunday before last, asked himself rhetorically, are the Iranians working on a nuclear weapon? No. That's a direct quote. Okay? They aren't. So why all this falderal? Well, it's an election year. The top Israeli leaders think they can mousetrap the U.S. into doing something that they almost succeeded in getting Bush and Cheney to do. There's very little risk for them to do that, they think, okay? And they can do what the primary objective is, regime change, okay? It reminds me, you know, it reminds me of how Paul Wolfowitz and those neocons used WMD in Iraq. Anybody remember that? Okay. Wolfowitz finally admitted, you know, when they were riding high after they got into Baghdad, he finally admitted, well, WMD, oh, it's just something that we could all agree on bureaucratically. And so we used that as the reason, okay? Wasn't the real reason. So the analogy is apt. A nuclear weapon development on the part of Iran is not the real reason. The real reason is regime change, and our leaders are joined at the hip with the Likud government in Tel Aviv. That's what they want. They see an opportunity to do it, and so they're trying to do it. Now, the best way for them to do it, of course, is to provoke things. Now, let me just pick up on, you know, so McGovern, you say that they're not worried about a nuclear weapon. I say definitively, no, they're not. Now, what's my proof?
Well, Pakistan has over 100.
Yeah, but the proof is that when in 2003, the Iranians came to us and they said, look, we're prepared to negotiate everything, even our nuclear development program. We know that we're entitled to develop nuclear energy for energy, but we'll negotiate the whole thing. John Bolton, who was at the State Department at that point, turned them down and said, and go, you know, go somewhere, okay? Then what happens? Well, in a couple of years later, the Iranians are running low on the 20% enriched fuel that they need to power their medical nuclear reactor, okay? And so there's a sort of a juncture there where they need to refine this to 20%. All they can do now is just for the electrical energy, I think it's less than 5%. So what did they do? Well, a proposal is made by the United States government and by the Europeans and, you know, by anybody who wants to put the Iranians in a bad light. And they say, all right, look, give us 2/3 of your low enriched uranium and we'll have it processed out into Russia or France or Turkey. And we'll get
tell you what, Ray, we got to go to break. This was a short segment. We're going to come back with about 5 more minutes with you. Finish that point, recap it. Then I want to ask you, why are so many experts saying don't have a war? I want you to break down what could happen in this war straight ahead with Ray McGovern.
You are listening to an InfoWars.com frontline report. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. From deep in the heart of FEMA Region 6, Austin, Texas, transmitting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
That's right, attempting to get our constitutional republic back from the Big Six megabank special interest that have overthrown our republic and are trying to now institute their police state. But it's one thing to pass laws saying that they can secretly arrest citizens and have us disappear into a black hole and use the military against us. It's another thing to actually implement it. And before Ray leaves us here in a few minutes, I did want to raise that point to him, something I haven't talked to him about in the last few months that we've interviewed him. Getting back to your point about the Iranians before Ahmadinejad came along, they were ready to deal. They had inspectors everywhere. They're like, here, we'll give you our uranium. You know, that's, you can make sure it's non-weapons grade. We're having to import most of our gasoline. We need power. We're ready to do whatever. We want to come in out of the dark like Libya did. And you see how Libya got treated. You see what happened to Mubarak. I mean, the point is that we all know what happened. But for those that don't know, finish up what happened there, Ray.
Well, not many people know this, Alex. That's why I would like to just mention what happened. You know, when people say, well, McGovern, how do you know that the Israelis really aren't interested in the really not afraid of this nuclear program, and why is the U.S., in lockstep with them? Well, the proof is in the pudding, you know. Low-enriched uranium, which is all that Iran has right now, needs to be refined to a much higher degree, 90%, to make it suitable for a nuclear weapon. Now, still, that's the material. That's what they use, okay? Now, on October 1st, 2009... the Iranians shocked everyone. You know what they said? They said that they would agree to send as much as 75% of its low-enriched uranium abroad to be turned into fuel for this medical reactor that I talked about before. Now, the New York Times, which is always have a very Zionist bent, even the Times acknowledged it, said, quote, if this happens, this would represent a major accomplishment for the West, reducing Iran's ability to make a nuclear weapon quickly. So they worked it out in Geneva here, and they're going back to Vienna to do the detail work. Okay. Now, what happens a day before they're going back to Vienna? Well, Vienna was to happen on October 19th, 2009. On October 18th, this terrorist organization, for whom the Israelis recruited folks with the pretext that they were U.S. case officers, they detonated a car bomb at a meeting of top Iranian Revolutionary Guard commanders and killed five of them, five Brigadier generals, okay? Now, what do you suppose the military and the Revolutionary Guards did? They went to the supreme leader, who was their patron, and said, you're going to negotiate with these guys? You're gonna trust them to send out three-quarters of your low-enriched? Come on, give me a break. And so that was the next day. They didn't send their top negotiator. They sent a lower-level guy. They still wanted to do a deal, but the strength of the opposition in Iran to dealing with folks like this spiked the deal, and the U.S. wasn't interested in it either. Now, fast forward a year, and you have the Brazilians and the Turks, the Prime Minister of Turkey and the President of Brazil working out an agreement, this time not for three-quarters of their low-enriched uranium, but for half of it to be shipped out of the country, out of their control, and refined for their medical reactor. Guess what happens? When they agree on this, within hours, Hillary Clinton gets up at the White House and she says, this is our answer, this is her words, this is our answer to that. We're going to go to more and more sanctions. We're going to cripple the economy of Iran.
So Iran now is on record. Everything you said is on record, but it never talked about on the news. It's a footnote. Sure. They have done nothing but try to actually follow the orders of the quote international community. But the system wants war with Iran. So that leads us to, we only got a few minutes left here with you, Ray. I know you've got to go. We know that the politicians want war as a political distraction, at least some of them, with all the domestic things that are happening. But why are so many top generals and the former head of the Mossad and others saying, don't do it?
Well, because it would be suicide. Now, you know, the results, the effects of all this, not only on the world economy, but on various places like Gaza and Lebanon, where people could be put into action to shoot rockets at Israel and that kind of stuff, the effects would be terrible. But the worst effect, and the reason that the head of Mossad, the just retired head of Mossad, the Israeli CIA, the reason he said what he said was because he also said that this war would result in the destruction of Israel. Wow. Yeah, he said that. I know that because I said that at an interview, and then I said to myself, McGovern, did you really say that? And I looked up, and sure enough, a day or two later, I realized that Dagan, the former Mossad director, had said that. It's beyond the point where Israel can do this kind of thing.
He also called it a catastrophe. He said it would be a regional catastrophe.
Yeah, and he also said it would be the stupidest thing in the world, which he's absolutely right about. Now, the neocons, the people running our policy, even with Obama, they're hanging around, they have great difficulty distinguishing between the strategic interests of Israel on the one hand and the strategic interests of the United States on the other. But in this case, they should be coincident. They should be identical. I want to preserve the state of Israel. I don't like its behavior, but I don't want it destroyed. That's what would end up here. And that's perhaps why Dagan felt forced to speak out, because nobody else was saying that in the Israeli body.
It's going to unify that entire region against Israel, and Israel's already lost its worldview as the little guy being picked on, and it would definitely be billed as the villain, and world sympathy would completely evaporate. And I saw a Washington Times interview with folks that are in contact with Netanyahu, and they say that he believes it'll be such a big war that the West will be forced to defeat Iran, and then out of that, he'll be seen as Churchill or something. And yeah. I just don't think that he's right about that.
It's a big roll of the dice, Alex. It's a very big roll of the dice, and we should do everything we can to prevent that dice from being rolled. Because
how do Russia and China tie into that?
That's a very good question. Now, Russia is becoming much more vocal in saying, look, Iran's right on our southern frontier, pretty much, and we don't like this kind of thing, even the possibility that nuclear weapons might be employed. Besides, you should leave Iran alone. Now, Russia has a big stake in Iran. There's an economic stake there, and China has an even bigger stake. So I fully expect that the Russians and the Chinese are very, very strong in their protestations about all this stuff. And I think that may be as much as this freelance terrorism that is being conducted by Israel within Iran without so much as a buy your leave to us. I think both of those factors may have been enough to persuade the president that he's got to say, pretty please don't do it anymore. And again, I come back to the bottom line. Is Netanyahu going to settle for pretty please, or does he think that he has the high cards? He has Congress. He has our press here in this country. Those are pretty high cards. I think he's tempted to do it anyway.
So it may happen anyway, and we'll continue to watch that. In closing, I want to ask you about NDAA, but what about Ron Paul? I mean, I hear it all over neocon radio. I see it all over the news. He's crazy. He doesn't want to attack Iran. And I guess the system's counting on the public's ignorance, because most of the Joint Chiefs, the last two chairmen, top Israelis, the former Mossad head, I mean, most, I'd say 9 out of 10 analysts that I've talked to out there say it's crazy to do this. Don't do it. So, I mean, Ron Paul is really in the same camp when it comes to foreign policy, but because people that want war are in such control of the media, they're able to create that illusion with some of the general public that it's crazy to not want a new war.
That's exactly right. Ron Paul has it exactly right, and I admire him greatly for speaking out the way he has been, despite the derision on the part of the press. The press is no longer a free press in this country, and having been in Washington 50 years, I've seen a lot of change, but the biggest change is that we no longer have, in any real sense, a free press. It's dominated by people who do the bidding of the corporations. There's lots of money to be made, but from war in the Middle East, and there's lots of money to be made by being a strong supporter of Israel, whatever the consequences. So when Ron Paul gets up and tells it like it is, this is crazy. Why do you want another war? What is this war lust? He's exactly right. It makes no sense, and right. I hope he begins to make a dent on the public opinion of this country.
All right. We've only got about a minute and a half left here, so I've got an appointment. NDAA, all these preparations for civil unrest, secret arrest of citizens. I think this is really starting to wake people up. What's your view on NDAA and why Obama said he wouldn't sign it but then signed it?
I think it's the corporate interests and the leadership of our Congress and the White House. You know what, Alex? They're afraid. They're afraid of us. They're afraid of Occupy Washington and Occupy these other cities. They don't know what to do. And what they're really afraid is that if they call the Capitol Police or the Secret Service or the District Police, they might realize they're part of the 99%. And so what do they do? Well, they want to be able to call on the Army. The Army can be expected to follow orders, and it's sort of like an insurance policy. And you and I are now liable for things that, since the Constitution was written, we never would have been liable before. And it's just an incredibly atrocious situation. I'm glad that Chris Hedges is suing the president over this, because he is a traitor. He is a traitor in just prescinding from his oath of office, where he swore, as I did as an Army officer, to support and protect the Constitution of the United States from all enemies, foreign and domestic.
Wow, you served five presidents, or was it four? I've never heard you call a president a traitor, and undoubtedly is. And by the way, I'd like to get Chris Hedges on. I believe you know him. If you've got any contact info, we've been trying to email, but we don't have the right one. I want to get Chris Hedges on. We have an article about it today. Journalist sues Obama over an indefinite detention law. Ray McGovern, thank you so much for spending time with us, and we're glad you're out there, a voice for sanity.
You're most welcome, Alex.
Thank you so much, sir. All right, there he goes. Look, you heard him. I mean, I'm not an enemy of Israel. I don't want to see bad things happen to any country. But when the majority of Israelis in polls don't want this war, and most of the military brass says don't do it, I mean, that's when you know it's bad. I mean, it is bad news. And as the world goes into this economic implosion, you're going to see more and more pressure for wars, because these mega corporations make money off of it while all of our nations basically lose. And they get to take more of our rights and freedoms. They get to stage terror attacks and then say Iran did it, or Iran might actually respond. You know, that's what's so creepy about Santorum saying kill Iranians, bomb them, blow them up, assassinate people. What is Santorum going to do if the Iranians do come over here and start killing people? Oh, how dare them blow something up or kill military people or kill scientists. That's terrorism. Well, it's terrorism when that's being done to Iran. I mean, you can't say the bad guys torture, but then we torture, we're the good guys. Or you can't say in foreign countries they secretly arrest people. Well, here we put it on paper. Again, reality doesn't line up to what the special interests are saying and doing. Now, I got a bunch of other news. We've got an amazing interview coming up in the next hour with a woman who had the state police come after her for not vaccinating her 2.5-year-old daughter. She's a very well-spoken, nice lady, professional lady. She's going to be joining us. We've got a bunch of clips here. We're going to expose the hoax that it's the law. You got to take all these vaccines. But I want to go to Alice, Tim, Gus, Jay, Michael, and others. Alice in Texas, thanks for holding her on the air.
Hi, Alex. I'm a big fan. I've been a subscriber for 7 years at least. And I've been sitting here every day lately looking at the Prison Planet TV screen, looking at that link to your slow kill Holocaust story. And I wanted to make a point that I don't think has emerged in recent days, as you've been talking about the importance of Americans supplementing their diet with proper nutrients because the food no longer has it in it. And you can't possibly be healthy and of normal weight unless you do.
Oh, listen, I was always wondering why I was hungry, and it's because the vitamins I was taking weren't liquid, weren't powder, so I wasn't absorbing enough, and I never really took them regularly because they didn't have much of an effect. Now that I actually take minerals and vitamins every day that I can absorb, I'm not as, I mean, my hunger's cutting like half. So, of course, the weight's just pouring off me. Sorry, go ahead.
That's about half of it. I did an enormous amount of research several years ago when it suddenly dawned on me. I'm 66 years old. When I was a kid, nobody was fat. Nobody was fat. I mean, there just weren't fat people.
And people ate big old chicken fried steaks and everything else.
When I was a teenager, we ate hamburgers and fries and milkshakes and all the same general food groups that people eat today. But then it began to dawn on me, and I came up with a hypothesis. I said, they've done something to the food. And I spent 2 years researching this, and I came to the conclusion that if you eat at the trough of big food, because of ingredients they have put into the food supply that were not there when I was growing up, you are going to be fat, and then you're going to get sick, and then you're going to end up in the clutches of big pharma.
Well, ma'am, let me stop you. You're absolutely, it's on record. 50-plus years ago, they started putting the bisphenol A in all the plastic linings and products and newspaper print. On record, to sterilize and reduce fertility. It causes obesity. It increases cancer. And then it's all the other additives and things. And you're absolutely right. I've looked at studies on it. I mean, when my dad was a kid, I mean, the meals were giant. 4 or 5 fried eggs, hash browns, sausage, everything at dinner, you know, chicken fried steak, 4 or 5 vegetables, grease everywhere. And none of them were fat. It's because it was real food, even though it was, quote, unhealthy. It's the additives, all of it, on record, totally screws you up and makes you obese and unhealthy. And that's what you're saying you found from your research?
I lost 80 pounds by making a food rule that if I couldn't have eaten it in 1960, I won't eat it today. That means no high fructose corn syrup, which, by the way, is a seriously bad thing for your body.
Oh, it fries your pancreas. No. It manipulates liver function. That's on record.
Absolutely. No aspartame or other artificial sweeteners, and no monosodium glutamate and the other names it appears under, because MSG has the same function in food that those clever, you remember those clever scientists?
I tell you what, Alice, you're on fire. I want to come back to you, and I'll get to everybody else too, but I want to hear more from Alice. What an incredible testimony from Alice, losing 80 pounds, simply reading the ingredients list and all these petrochemicals and things that they're adding, not eating it. That's what we do at my house. Now I'm getting the vitamins and minerals and nutrients I need, and I've lost over 30 pounds in 6 weeks and just feel awesome. My wife had already been healthy, for the children herself. I, over the years, have gotten very unhealthy, just not caring about myself. But I've started to turn that around with God's help. This is done by design. I mean, they're legally allowed, because they got a law passed, to add silicone to the foaming agent in most of the fried products that you get at the stores. I remember when I first heard that about 5, 6 years ago, I go, that can't be true. I searched it. There was CNN even reporting it. I mean, no wonder organs are failing. No wonder. The Japanese government in World War I, they were involved on the U.S. side then. And this is all part of the record. You can go look up the history of MSG. They were feeding basically rotten food to the troops. And they found if they put MSG on it, they'd still eat it. It'll make a rotten rat taste like pumpkin pie. And it's an excitotoxin, very addictive, and it's in hundreds and hundreds, well, thousands, really, of things. But I'm going to go to other callers, but Alice, anything else you wanted to add for people?
I just wanted to make the comment that Americans were appalled when they learned that the scientists had figured out how to make cigarettes even more addictive by adding chemicals to them, yet we have sat by and allowed them to add chemicals to our food.
Yeah.
That set up the very same addiction cycle in the brain. Why do people continue to buy this crud?
And by the way, that's not your opinion. We've got Dr. Blaylock, top neuroscientist, brain surgeon tomorrow. He's written peer-reviewed papers 20 years ago, 15 years ago, that are now mainline science and have been adopted. And now they know that all these things are addictive. These companies, they knew aspartame was addictive. Most poisons are actually addictive. I appreciate your call. It's so incredible once you learn the truth. It's so unbelievable that the system wants to make you sick. We're going to be breaking that down in the next hour. I want to go back to calls here, but don't forget, we have the answers that break this down. In fact, this video, made in Europe, it's English, It's in English, but it's not available in the U.S. That's why we saw it and ordered it from Europe. We're the main distributor here in the U.S. Scientists under attack, genetic engineering and the magnetic field of money. A film about courage, secrecy, and danger. An amazing film. It's won all these top awards. The Kansas International Film Festival, Indie Film Festival, Accolade Film Festival, ARPA Film Festival, Columbus Film Festival, Maverick Movie Awards, Maverick Movie Awards, and a bunch of others. The point is that you want to get Scientists Under Attack, available at Infowars.com, along with A Noble Lie Exposing Oklahoma City, along with all the other books and videos and T-shirts. And by the way, we still have the deal going where you can get Infowars.com and then the Fed bumper stickers at cost. Bunch of different packages. You get a whole bunch of them. Please, in a revolution, don't stick them on government buildings. Only stick them on your own property, your own car. We are going to go ahead and get some stencils for Infowars.com manufactured, but not... I mean, imagine the wake-up call if people spray-painted Infowars.com all over Austin, Texas. Illegal and lawful places on the side of your business, on your car, on your T-shirt. Imagine, just in Austin, what would happen if my... Oh, it's got to be 100,000 listeners out of a million people. I mean, I walk down the street and more than half the folks, you know, that drive by end up stopping and talking to me now. It's gotten crazy. Imagine if everybody put Infowars.com on everything, but only in legal and lawful areas, you know. The globalists are putting poison in our food and water. This isn't a time to actually get aggressive or anything. I mean, come on. All right, we're going to... seriously, don't do anything. Do observe private property. Now, government buildings, well... All right, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be right back with your call. Stay with us.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
All right, we got a special guest and a big expose on one of the big globalist hoaxes coming up. That it's the law, you've got to be vaccinated. They're now sending the police after folks. We'll talk to this Pennsylvania mother coming up. But right now, let's continue with your calls. Let's talk to Tim in Nevada, then Gus, Jay, Michael. We'll get to everybody today. Tim, you're on the air.
Hello, Alex?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, hi. I live in Reno, Nevada. I deal poker. It's amazing how many people I deal with that are just complete fluoride heads. Have no idea what's going on.
Well, no, they are chemical warfare victims. I mean, we're not joking about that. People say, how did we go from being land of the free, home of the brave, to being so domesticated? Because they jacked the food and water.
Well, I go to work yesterday. They owe me a few bucks, and I work for a black man who's my boss. And, Tim, why don't you sit in the game and, you know, help us get this game going. So I sit down and play poker. And they love CNN. They love it there at my job. So they're watching, and my boss looks up at the TV, and it goes, 40% of the people in prison are black. And he says this out loud, and that's just one of my pet peeves about that. And I just go off. I just say, you know they fly the trucks to the country, the CIA does. And you know that is to get poor people addicted to the drugs so they can lock them up in privately owned prisons so they can get through. I don't know, I heard it was $300 a day for each prisoner in prison. And have you do slave labor for 25 cents an hour that they'd have to pay somebody $15 on the outside to do. And he looked at me like I was an alien, like, you never heard this before.
Oh, I know. People love to get obsessed over, like, petty race stuff, how somebody looks at them or a name. When, meanwhile, the system, it's been proven, if you're black and caught with drugs, on generally you serve 10 times more sentence than if you're white. And Ron Paul brings that up. But again, black leaders won't talk about that. Or because, again, the people peddling all this race stuff and acting like they're liberal, they're distracting, quote, minorities with the real issues. The real discrimination is megabanks robbing us all with most of our tax money going now to banker bailouts. I mean, isn't that discriminatory? Or no-bid contracts, you know, going to these mega corporations and not going to small businesses? Isn't that discrimination? But it's like people can't notice the real discrimination going on. It's all got to be about race. Do you see what I'm saying?
Exactly. You know, and I wear my 9/11 shirt. You know, I like to play poker maybe once a week around town. And I wear my 9/11 shirt around town. And nobody ever wants to engage you intellectually on a debate. They just want to mock you and make fun of you. And that's why, I mean, you guys are so great at waking people up. I personally have given up on those kind of people. I can't talk to them.
Well, look, about half the population is in a zombie mode, and you're not going to get to them. But you will run into people out there that I'd imagine if you're wearing a 9/11 inside job shirt, I'd imagine on the street and at supermarkets and stuff, you run into people that agree with you, haven't you?
Oh, I have. And I've also, you know, at work, you know, there's a few people that I've actually, you know, helped waken up. They come to me and they're excited, you know, say, hey, Tim, did you hear about this or hear about that? And that's great. And I love that. But it's the people who, you know, have their heads buried in their cell phone playing Angry Birds, and all they want to do is mock you because you're trying to tell them that.
But you have to understand, they're in a trance, because I've run into those people, and when they're men, they're always very unmale, very, very soft, and they smile at you with a twinkle like it's cute that they don't care, and it's cute that they're into being slaves, and it's cute that they're hubris-filled and arrogant. And now there's this move to be slovenly and wear pajamas to the store and just have no respect for yourself. And look, it's a society on the verge of collapse. It always happens. Decadence, slimy behavior, crime. It's always an indicator of a society about to collapse. And we're here just trying to get dug in and ready for it, because in the collapse, you think people are waking up now. When it gets a lot worse, I mean, people are going to be listening to us more than ever. So we've got to get out as much info as we can today. We'll be right back with our special guest.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
All right, for the next 35 minutes or so, we are joined by a mother, a professional woman in Pennsylvania who has been to the pediatrician many times, but took her daughter, 2.5 years old, to the pediatrician, and the pediatrician for an hour pressured her to give her all these vaccines. And there's new ones all the time that they're coming out with and trying to mandate. Mandate means we push it on you, not that it's the law. But now, for the first time ever, we can pull articles up on this later, California did pass the law last year that they give your child vaccines without your consent. Now, they claim the child can give consent now. Well, if children could do that, there wouldn't be statutory rape. They're saying they'll give 11-year-old shots in California. And this is the new model. Oh, you're 11? You want an abortion? Sure, mommy doesn't need to know. You want a shot? Now, if you want to go to the zoo on a field trip, you got to get this letter signed. But if you want us to do a medical procedure, well, then don't tell mommy. This is the state trying to destroy parents' control. Now, I want to go to a few video clips before we go to Rachel Garman, our guest who joins us via video Skype. For radio listeners, you can go watch the video if you'd like, archived at prisonplanet.tv. But we're going to go to her here in a few minutes. But I thought I would just show you a newscast from about 6 months ago. This is about 2 months before they finally signed the law, saying we will shoot your kid up with whatever the vaccine company lobbies government to try to force on you without you knowing. And we also have the news reports where now the Centers for Disease Control and Department of Health, federally, Health and Human Services, is going door to door all over the country, but first mailing letters saying, tell us about your child's vaccines. Then you report on yourself, which is a violation of your Fifth Amendment, and then they show up. But Rachel's case is important because she had been gone out of town this weekend. She was there last Friday, and twice the state police came to her house and left a note on the door. We have that note, but we're busy right now blacking out the state troopers' names and things. She wants to be nice to them. And we have the doctor's name. We have the doctor's voicemail back to her, because when she called him and said, why are the police coming to my house? The doctor called back and said, I don't know what you're talking about, honey. And every time they do something like this, they always want to act like they haven't done anything to you. So they're now running a hoax coast to coast. And here's what I'm exposing, that it's the law you got to take vaccines. We're going to show you some of these news clips in a moment. But every year here in Austin, And when I'm traveling in August and other cities, I see the exact same newscast. It's the law. You'll go to jail if you aren't vaccinated. And I had the Maryland state attorney on like 5-6 years ago. This was on CNN, showed darking police dogs and checkpoints and the families, thousands of children brought to the park by the courthouse to be forcibly inoculated and people crying, I don't want it. The parents believed it was the law. And I got the state attorney on and I said, it's the law that you're saying it's a regulation, a mandate. She'll kick them out of school if they haven't had it. But you really can't order them to take the vaccine because that's not the law. You're just misapplying truancy laws and kicking them out and then triggering criminal penalties fraudulently. And he said, boy, you ought to be a lawyer. You're absolutely right. My kids don't take it. And started laughing like it's cute to manipulate the public, like it's cute to falsely threaten to charge people. They do take children for not being vaccinated, even though there's no law. They do arrest parents who don't vaccinate. The parents don't know. They can't kick your child out for something that isn't the law when they know there's a regulation, there's a waiver to it. And then they kick your child out and then sick the police on you. It's official imprisonment, false arrest. It's forcing medical procedures on people through fraud. It's racketeering. It's a serious crime. And the media runs this hoax every year that it's the law that you must take vaccines and that you will be jailed if you don't. The Austin American Statesman runs articles, local radio, TV, where I live, and you know in your area you see it. And they have the mass injections at city coliseums, at Zilker Park here in Austin. And the parents are on the news going, I don't like these shots and don't trust them, but I don't want to go to jail. And the media just plays along with it. Well, now in Alabama and other areas, remember the H1N1 we had newscast? They were accidentally shooting up the whole class without parental consent. This is incredible. So here's California going to your door with a bureaucrat and saying, I'm coming in to give them a shot. No judge, no jury, no warrant, no law. Just, I'm coming in to give them the shot. I'm coming in. Let's go ahead and go to this clip so you understand the magnitude of this. The police are coming to your door, folks. Here it is.
Up in the news, drastic measures to make sure every student is vaccinated in Natomas. School officials went door to door with a nurse offering the Tdap vaccine to meet a new state mandate.
Hello, how are you, ma'am?
Hi.
My name's Heyman Matlock. I'm with Natomas Unified School District.
It's not easy going door to door making sure students are vaccinated.
Your daughter is on independent study.
Yes.
Kayla, has she been verified with her Tdap?
No.
Okay. We were coming today to give her a Tdap if she hasn't had it done yet.
Get the off my house.
Hey, Ms. Matlock, dealing with a lot of sticky
right
situations.
There. You've got a mass hoax in front of everyone where they're acting like they're the good guys coming, saying we're going to give you shots outside of law. Now, we're going to our guest here in a moment, but I want to preface all this for new listeners to understand the magnitude of this fraud. They'll tell you in public school because they're getting federal kickbacks, it's the law, you got to take it, until you say, I know you got a waiver right there, and it's not even a waiver to a law. It's just a waiver for your regulations. Give it to me. But the courts have ruled you don't have to fill that out because you then sign the form and basically say you're a bad parent, which they then try to use with CPS to take your kids, and that's what this doctor did to our guest. We'll go to another clip of that in a moment where they're talking about injecting kids without parental consent on CNN and Fox. Those clips are coming up to let you know how serious this medical tyranny is, but Rachel Garman joins us from Pennsylvania, and I appreciate this sports and wellness director of a major institution, I'll just leave it at that, joining us, nice lady, to tell us what happened to her, because these reports are now pouring in under a federal mandate, federalizing your doctors, your local police. Rachel, thank you for coming on with us today.
Thanks for having me.
Start from the beginning. Tell folks basically what happened to you in the doctor's office, what they tried to make you sign, and then the state police.
Okay. On January the 6th, I took my son to a pediatrician here in town.
Oh, your son, excuse me, not daughter.
Yeah. He is 2.5 years old, and he hasn't had any vaccinations. And I took him in for a well checkup, and everything was going fine. I came into the office. I told them my son was a new patient. I provided them with his insurance card as well as his social security card. They gave me some paperwork. I filled out all the paperwork, including release of medical forms for any previous doctors that he's ever been to. Went in, had the appointment with the doctor. Everything was going great. She said, you know, he seemed like a really healthy, well-developed child. And then she asked me for his immunization record, and I looked her in her eyes and told her that he has not received any immunizations, and that was a choice that my husband and I had made. And from there, things went kind of downhill. You know, of course, she tried to talk me into the vaccination. She told me about how, you know, these different outbreaks have occurred, and went on and on and on. And, you know, and I, again, just like took my stand and just said, you know, this is just the decision that we've made. And I said, you know, I've done a lot of research on this. You know, if there's any kind of new findings or new research out there that I should look into, you know, I'm willing to take a look into new research. I research all the time. So, you know, I felt like I was being pretty open. You know, we finished up the appointment. I mean, we were, seemed like we were having pretty good conversation. You know, she told me about how she had gone to Africa on medical missions trips, and I'd been to Africa before too. So, you know, I thought things were okay. And I left the office, and I had refused to sign the APA. It's like a disclosure statement or something of that nature, saying that, you know, I understand that not giving my child vaccinations could put them at harm for a fatal disease or something of that nature.
Yeah, it's basically saying you agree you're a witch and should be burned at the stake. I mean, they're getting you to say, I'm a bad parent, I'm endangering my child, when the statistics are out there. The vaccines overall are more dangerous than all these supposed diseases out there, and they know that. You know, they won't tell people what's on those inserts. It's kind of like TSA telling their own employees, oh, there's no radiation from these scanners, and then they get caught lying. I mean, it's all part of this American Medical Association propaganda. So when you sign that, they then use that to try to sick the CPS on you by you agreeing that you're a bad parent.
Yeah, so I had done my research about that, and I, you know, I knew that I didn't want to sign that. So I told her that I wasn't going to sign it. Again, I left the office, thought everything was okay, went back to work, went to my sister's house for the weekend. And when I got home on Sunday evening, I had two notes on my door from a state trooper asking that I call her immediately. So I tried to call. Of course, she wasn't on duty at, you know, 9:30 at night. So I had to wait till the following day. I got her on the telephone. And, you know, the state trooper, she was decent about the whole situation. She said, you know, this is really minor, but whenever I get a call like this, I do have to look into it. So, you know, you were at the pediatrician on Friday, correct? And I said, yes. And she said, well, we received a phone call that you refused to show your ID and that you were acting strangely. And I proceeded to tell the state trooper that I had never been asked for my ID, and I wasn't acting strangely. I said, what happened was I refused to give my child vaccinations, and I refused to sign the APA's form. And I'm assuming that's why the pediatrician called the police.
But let's stop right there. In America, you go in, fill out all the forms. They know your name, where you're at. They never ask for an ID when you go into the doctor. And then they call the police on you. And we're showing a letter on screen right now. One of the two notes will show the second one, that where the trooper comes to your house because you're acting strangely, like the secret police, the thought police, to want to know why you are acting strangely. I mean, just amazing. So it's all this color of law intimidation, just like the California newscast, where they're saying, we're going to come on in and give you that shot now. Outside of law, just trying to bluff their way in. I mean, I understand you're a nice lady and you were friendly to the state trooper, but you were like, you know, well, okay, why are you coming to my house?
I was very offended, and I told the state trooper that I was highly offended. I was really shocked. I guess I shouldn't be, you know, in the day and age that we live, but I felt that my rights as a parent were violated. I felt like my privacy was violated. I felt very violated by the whole situation.
Well, look, this doctor, and of course you told me, I don't know why I got it in my head, it was a daughter, a son, you know, had been to pediatricians before. I guess you're going to a new pediatrician, and there never been an issue. I mean, I've been at the hospital and had three children. And I sit there and have discussions with the nurses going, we don't vaccinate either. You know, a nurse in Ward R got paralyzed. One of my crew members, his wife is a RN. And she talked about one lady they work with is completely paralyzed in a wheelchair, a young, beautiful woman, paralyzed. Other people, just in one hospital, the nurses having Guillain-Barre, convulsions. I mean, it's on the insert. The H1N1, you can pull up countless articles, caused a tenfold increase in England in neurological disorders, didn't protect you from H1N1, doubled your chances of getting the regular seasonal flu. I mean, these are the numbers. These are the facts. CBS News, now the polio vaccine just last year caused polio all over the world. It was live polio. I mean, over and over again, these companies have liability protection. They're a bunch of... let me ask you this question. Why do you not vaccinate your son?
Well, I believe that vaccines are dangerous. There's dangerous side effects. They have mercury in them, so they're poisonous. I don't want mercury in my child. I don't want it in his brain. And I really feel that there is not conclusive evidence that disproves that vaccines can cause autism or ADD. I don't believe the so-called evidence of that. So I don't see any reason for it. I did have vaccines as a child, but my mother pulled my shot records out, and by the time I was 6 years old, I had had 12 shots. And if I were to follow the guidelines that they wanted for my son, by the time he was 6 years old, he would have 36 shots.
And some of those are more than 36. Some of those have triple compounds in them, so it's more like 50 plus. But expanding on that, vaccine makers have said their goal by 2020 is the average child by the age of 2 will be given over 100 different inoculations, pumping their body full of this garbage. And there's major scientific studies out. People can just type in scientific studies link vaccines to cancer, that it's making your immune system shut down to be pumped full of all of this. I mean, look at what's... And then they always lie, and I've had Dr. Sherry Tenpenny and others on exposing this. She has the graph showing it. In the Western world by the 20s, open sewers were shut down, hygiene was upped, soap, sanitation, so diseases go way down. By the 50s, when vaccines get popular again, the diseases actually go back up a little bit. Not to what they were before, but they go up a little bit. I mean, we're living less now in the U.S. and in Europe. We have the highest cancer rates, and vaccines are a big, big part of it. Could vaccine science actually help sometimes? Yes. Is inoculation a real science? Yes. But when you're giving them hundreds of these things, and the companies, I mean, take the H1N1. It just came out, what we already knew, that it had piggyback viruses in it. Same thing with the Gardasil shot. Now we just showed a headline for PrisonPlanet.tv viewers. Radio listeners can just Google Pennsylvania vaccine waiver form law, and it says it's not a law. But then we have articles where the news are reporting and telling parents, take your vaccines or go to jail. Let's put that Pennsylvania code back up there. Did she ever try to, this doctor, try to tell you it was the law, or did she just try to pressure you into doing it?
No, she never said that it was the law, but I did feel some pressure from her. I mean, I was in her office for an hour while she was going on and on. She gave me a lot of literature, and I told her I would take a look at it, but I mean, I've looked at it all before, and you know, I'm not sold on the vaccines. And at this point, I have chosen not to give my child any vaccinations. I did tell her that I had looked into an alternative schedule, and I was still doing some research about that. So I felt like I was being pretty open as far as, like, you know, I wasn't just shutting her down.
You don't deserve to have the police called on you. Now, let's be clear. We haven't made this clear here, but correct me if I'm wrong from talking to you at some length last night. not only did the state police come to your house two different times over the weekend, and thank God you were at your sister's visiting and gone and left notes, the CPS was with them. So you see, when this doctor called you back and said, honey, I don't know what you're talking about, obviously she just wants to launch the CPS on you and then act like she didn't call in some type of neglect call, but that's clearly what happened. Let's explain. You didn't just have the state police visit, who were guaranteed going to try to force their way in, but the CPS was with them.
Right.
So we haven't explained. This is an open case, an open issue. Please continue.
Yes. When I got home, my neighbor came over and he said, hey, we were really concerned because the state police were here twice this weekend. And they also had, in Pennsylvania, it's called Children and Youth Services. They had a Children and Youth Services worker with them as well. And when, you know, you weren't home, they came to our door and they were asking questions about you and about your son.
Wow. What kind of questions did they ask you or ask your neighbor?
They asked, you know, do you know Rachel? Do you know how many kids she has?
Wow.
Do you know what kind of mom she is?
Oh.
Yeah.
Trolling for ways to take your children. And for this doctor, it's just nothing. Oh, she didn't take the shots. And here they come preemptively trying to get some dirt on you. Thank God you've never had a problem with your neighbor. Or they would use your neighbor's affidavit in their kangaroo eugenics court, their race hygiene health department court. That's what family courts are, set up 1910 New York, Rockefeller Foundation. Kaiser Wilhelm Institute in Nazi Germany was the model of that. They learned from us. I'm not trying to scare you, but for parents out there, the incredible creepiness. We should have started the interview with this. Not just police, but CPS and asking your neighbors questions. And CPS will lie and even make stuff up. What else did your neighbor say they said?
Well, he really didn't speak to him. He told him, look, I'm not involved with this. I don't want to talk to you. And he pretty much shut the door on him.
Unbelievable. Now this is obviously an open case now, but you are, again, a professional woman. You are very credible, and you're also attractive. I'm sure your husband is a, you know, comparable type person. I hope you go after him because this is a false report of neglect. This is official oppression. This is harassment. This is a violation of your medical privacy. This is a false report that you refuse to show an ID. She may even beat the rat, but she won't beat the ride. You need to file suit on that doctor to teach her a lesson. You need to go to the local media. If local media wants to talk to you, or if you want this story to get out there further, because I'm not trying to scare you, obviously, but these people are piranhas, Rachel. The best defense is a good offense. You need to go after them.
Right. I agree. And that's why I'm here telling my story, because I want America and I want other parents to know that this is happening. And, you know, we need to be aware of it.
Oh, makes my blood boil. I've seen poor families that don't know how to defend themselves like you, where they take the children, Rachel. Stay there. I want to come back and talk more about this. It makes my blood boil. This country is just a haven of unmitigated evil. And that I know the whole history of the CPS. I know the whole history of the health departments, the vaccines, all of it. I know about the racial hygiene laws, the kids being taken, these kangaroo courts. And if the general public knew what I knew or knew what you knew, our problems would be over very quickly. Our guest, straight ahead, victim of the secret police, child snatchers. Going back to Rachel Garman for another 10 minutes or so, then to your calls and other news I haven't covered. Rachel, I'm ranting here because you see a fraud, you see a hoax, you see the media lying and saying it's the law, you see California injecting children now without parental consent. I'm going to play a news clip of that in a moment. You see her saying you wouldn't show an ID and filing a fake police report on you, sending CPS... who have a quota to grab children. I mean, these are child kidnappers. And this person thinks because they're part of the system that that's okay. Like, you're not a human being. Like, you're not going to fight back. We've got to start recognizing, because you're so polite, you're so nice, and you're saying, oh, the state police lady was real nice on the phone. Let's black her name out to be nice to her. And I don't understand why this doctor's like this. I was real nice to her. Again, you're a nice lady who knows enough to stand up for yourself. You're smart. You care about your son. Your husband cares. Your dad, you say, is a listener. But still, you've got this attitude like, why are they being mean to me? I haven't done anything wrong. They don't care. They're control freaks. They're sickening. And none of us are safe because they're gearing up with the Centers for Disease Control and the National, you know, Department of Health, all of it, going door to door everywhere harassing people. And they're really gearing up for forced inoculation. They have the Emergency Centers Act. They have the Model Emergency Centers Act. They're trying to train police for forced inoculation. They're really gearing up for this. And that's why I'm telling folks the war is on. Because if you pull up the statistics, record numbers are not taking their vaccines. People are waking up to the horrors of the Gardasil deaths and Rick Perry and all of it. Any other points you'd like to add about all of this before I go to some more clips?
I understand. I guess I felt so violated, and I felt that if this was a lot of intimidation and, you know, her way of trying to force me to vaccinate my son, obviously sending the state police to my house is not, you know, going to make me trust her. I mean, you know, as Americans, we think we should be able to trust our doctors, but obviously we can't.
Well, now they are agents of government. And they're being told to spy on parents. Pediatricians are told to spy and treat you as if you're guilty. The last three times, and my doctor's a listener, and my wife's doctor's a listener, you know, great lady. But still, at the nice hospital, new hospital we went to for the first child, and the two subsequent, I figured it out by the first time, the nurse would say, Alex, do you mind bringing this down to the first floor, this file for me? And I got the file and left. Me and my wife hadn't been arguing, nothing. I was all, you know, massaging her, oh, sweetie cake, all this. And I come back and my wife goes, she was just asking me if we have money, if you abuse me. She was typing it into that computer on the side of the wall. The lady comes back in and I said, hey, you know, this isn't guilty until proven innocent. I don't have a criminal record. I understand that. So that goes to the health department. You're filling out a report on me. And you know, she was like the head nurse and she like narrowed her eyebrows like, ooh. Like, it's weird to even be able to think and know what I'm doing to you. Ooh. And I said, hey, listen, let me explain how this is going to work. I'm a syndicated radio host. It turned out some of the other nurses were listeners. And I said, you better dot your I's and cross your T's. Now, the next two times when they do it, years later, different nurses, I'd say, oh, no, you can take that down there. You can go ahead and ask her the questions, you know, whether I beat her or not, right here in front of me. And then they're like, well, I usually ask this with you out of the room. And I go, look, see, it's all this, it's this whole world about fooling us and manipulating us. And look, for 40 years now, this year, 2012, for 40 years worldwide in every industrialized country, they take blood from babies at birth and put it in a global database. I knew this 16 years ago when a nurse gave it to me from one of the Department of Defense bases in San Antonio, declassified 3 years ago. The medical system is a tyranny that thinks we're animals and they do whatever they want. Were you aware of the blood grabbing they do of babies at birth?
Is that where they want you to do the stem? They want to take a stem and they tell you that if your child ever gets certain diseases, they'll be able to cure them.
No. Yeah. No, that's a big money making deal where it turns out now they don't usually finish the procedures quick enough for women so they can, you know, get that stem cell fluid out of the placenta and umbilical cord. No. This is blood of all children. You know, they take ampules of blood and they go, we're sending this to the health department. Sign this form to check for blood diseases. They don't check for blood diseases. It goes to the Department of Defense.
No, I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. And then they sell the data to companies who then, when your child 30 years later needs a surgery or a DNA treatment, they tell them, oh, this company bought your blood. It owns your DNA now. Mm. So it's going to be $200,000 for the procedure instead of $5,000.
That's terrible.
I know that sounds crazy in science fiction. It's because we are in science fiction. Now, let me just stop right there. What else? I mean, did you bring up why are the CPS here? Are you coming back? Or, I mean, did they say they're coming back? Did they say we want to meet with you? Have you learned the name of the child-grabbing ghoul they sent with the police?
No, I haven't heard anything back from them. Actually, the state trooper, I had even offered, I said, my son's in school right now. Would you like to talk to one of his teachers? She said, no, that's not necessary. You know, she basically, I took it as though that was the end of it. So, but I did try to call the doctor immediately, and she didn't return my phone call for 2 days. Because I did want to confront her as to why she called the state police and, you know, children and youth services. Like I said, I didn't hear back from her for 2 days until I received a voicemail because I was at work where on the voicemail she just says, Rachel, I got your message. Not really sure why you're calling. We'd really just like to have his growth charts. I know you said there's not any immunization records.
Oh, yeah, they always act like it's no big deal when they're trying to wreck your life because they care about you. In fact, you do have that audio on your phone, don't you?
Yes, I do. Mm-hmm.
Now, do you want to say the town you're in? Do you want to give out your email for locals that may want to support you or local media that may want to march into that doctor's office?
Actually, I just checked my phone. I've already been receiving some emails from local media. So apparently they're listening and they know where I am. I mean, people do know my name around here because, you know, I'm pretty active in the community and also in, you know, helping people to become more healthy. So
that's right. You're a well-known person in the community. We're not going to get into your profession or exactly where you work because that's separate. But you're very well-known in the community.
Yeah, I feel like that. I mean, I grew up here. I did move away for some time and recently moved back here. But, I mean, it's a pretty small, close-knit community. Everybody pretty much knows everybody. So
yeah, I think they picked on the wrong person. Do you want to say the name of your town?
I'm here in Center County, very close to State College, if anybody's familiar with Penn State University. So,
wow. So they're in the Happy Valley, I guess.
Yes.
Still going after people's children in one way or another.
Right.
What are you planning to do if the CPS shows back up?
Well, I won't let them in, of course. You know, I mean, I'll answer the door. I'll talk to them. I mean, as a matter of fact, I have a lot of friends that are CPS workers here. I have a lot of friends that are social workers for the county government. So,
well, to be clear, social workers are one thing that are helping old people or whatever. But more and more statistically, they have bounties on kids. And let me tell you, CPS is not to be trifled with. You may know some of these people, but I tell you, they are as dangerous as a barrel of snakes.
Yeah, I mean, I don't trust them. They're not going to come into my house. It's not that I have anything to hide, but there's no reason for them to come into my house.
Yeah, exactly. It's a fishing expedition. They've already are spying on you. Let's expand on this, though. I want to play a clip for you. This is a clip from National News. And I forget the source. I'll give you the source once we play it. Here's a clip where they're on, and the governor did sign this bill, debating injecting children without parental consent in California. And they're now doing it. The state now in California says they own your children. And they've even said that in federal and state court, trying to ban homeschooling. Here is that clip.
Parents are legally accountable for any adverse events, adverse reactions that occur from the vaccine. Federal bureaucrats, government bureaucrats should not be making decisions for parents.
Lisa, we do know that there are vaccine injuries that happen from vaccines. Should parents know when their 12-year-olds are getting a medical treatment that could be risky?
Well, already in California and other states across the country, children are already receiving medical benefits that their parents aren't aware of, birth control, abortions, events where there could be a severe adverse reaction, even leading to death, like in cases of abortion.
So shouldn't their parents know about that? Lisa?
Yes?
Shouldn't parents, you're making the case that there are risky things that 12-year-olds and 13-year-olds are experiencing. Shouldn't their parents know about those?
Well, I think parental consent starts in the home. Every day our teenagers are doing things to risk their health. They're having sex, they're experimenting with drugs, they're acting cavalier. If we have an open line of communication with our children, then this bill should not threaten parents.
All right, let's stop right there. That's CNN. This is the incredible spin that we now face where, well, they're using drugs, they're having abortions. Let us inject 11, 12-year-olds without their parents knowing. And they spin it like parents shouldn't be threatened by this. I mean, it's so creepy that we've put up with so much that now the CPS and state police come to your house because you don't want to shoot up your 2.5-year-old son with whatever the drug companies lobbied him to give you. Or now in California, they just shoot him up at the school and don't even care. Used to, it was always an accident. Oh, we didn't know you hadn't agreed to give him this new shot. Just amazing. What do you think of that clip with that woman just straight-faced saying, of course parents don't need to know. That's crazy.
I think that's ridiculous. I mean, you know, you're not old enough to vote until you're 18. You're not old enough to buy a pack of cigarettes. I mean, so why is it that you're old enough to decide that you want a vaccine or an abortion or any other of these crazy things that they're giving to kids? I don't understand that.
Well, look, if we don't start standing up to these people and realize how we've been wronged, more and more doctors are going to be used like they were in Nazi Germany to oppress people. And, well, the doctor said, I mean, if you look at sterilizations, did you know social workers were set up for the family courts to carry out forced sterilizations outside of a regular court for U.S. citizens? Are you aware of the eugenics laws that 35 plus states had in the U.S.?
I mean, in regards to Planned Parenthood and an abortion and trying to wipe out African-Americans.
Well, exactly. That's where it all came from, but it was done to poor whites and others as well. But that's where the family courts came from. I mean, these aren't even real courts. I mean, that's why the CPS person just shows up and starts trying to find some dirt. It's all just made up so they can get their clutches on your son.
Not my son.
What does your husband think of this?
He definitely, actually, when I was pregnant, my husband is the one that brought this information to my attention because, you know, I was raised here in central Pennsylvania. I mean, you grow up, you get vaccines, you do this, you do that, whatever. But my husband brought this to my attention while I was pregnant, and I spent a lot of time researching it, and we both made this decision that we would not vaccinate our child. And we've stood by that decision, and he stands by that decision today. You know, he's been with me before when we've been questioned by doctors and things of that nature. You know, when we were living in Ohio, we were also questioned or really harassed by a doctor there. And
yeah, what you do is you Google non-vaccinating doctors, and you'll find doctors in every major town. You have to drive 50 miles, you know, who live in a real world. But when they do get in your face, I would just pull out all the major reports and mainline info. I got reports today about kids dying from H1N1 and others, and say, hey, don't give me vaccine company propaganda. Here's the facts. Or will you sign a form saying if my child's hurt, you're liable? Don't tell me to sign a form that I'm bad. Put the shoe back on your foot, punk.
You know what? I like that idea, and you're right. I should go when I go to the doctor. Well, actually, now from this situation, I've come to find out that I really should just be taking my son to like a general practitioner, family doctor, rather than a pediatrician, because their main purpose is to enforce the CDC's regulations. So,
well, exactly. It's indentured servitude, and doctors are just letting this happen now, where the federal government through the state tells you what to do and how to operate and what processes, what treatments you can offer. I mean, it's the end of regular medicine, and they're just being turned into little government bureaucrats.
Right. I have a healthy child. You know, I just wanted to be a good mom, take my son to his well checkup, and, you know, I wasn't expecting all this to happen. But I do plan on trying to find another doctor here in the area that, you know, that we'll be able to work with, that I can take my son to get, you know, regular well checkups, get him weighed, get his height taken, that kind
of thing. What about suing this doctor, and then you can have the staff there and all of them in deposition saying, we didn't ask for an ID, and then there's the false report right there. I mean, this is a false report on you. I mean, she sent people there who are looking to take your child. I mean, this is an attack.
I totally agree, and I will contact my lawyer.
Yeah, you need to go after him, I'm telling you, and there are other lawyers that specialize in this. Because if we don't get on the offense with them, they're just going to sit there and think it's normal. I mean, I hear national talk show hosts saying, take everybody's kids that don't vaccinate. I've got three children. They've never been vaccinated. They're not sickly like all the other kids I know that have been. And because you cannot trust these companies. We've got 1 minute left. I really appreciate you spending time with us, Rachel. Anything else that you'd like to add?
I would just like to add that my child is very healthy. He's only ever had one ear infection in his life. As far as colds, coughs, he really doesn't get them. He's really the healthiest 2.5-year-old that I know. More energetic, lively. He's fabulous. He's wonderful. And even the doctor agreed that he was very healthy and developing well. So, and he's doing all that without vaccinations.
Without mercury being injected into them. I mean, I would ask the doctor, okay, well, they want 50 shots now. How about 200? How about 300? How about, I mean, it's destroying their immune systems. That's why we're so sickly now. I mean, now with antibiotics, they've got totally drug-resistant TB in India. I mean, there's no end to what these doctors are doing.
Yes, I agree, and that's why I'm not going to let it happen to my son. My mother actually died last year of cancer.
Oh.
And I'm convinced that the main reason why my mother developed cancer was because she was put on antibiotics her entire life. She spent her entire life.
Oh, that's definitely linked to it. Well, Rachel Garman, we need more mothers and fathers and parents like you. We appreciate your courage to not just lay down to these ghouls. God bless you. I'll say bye to you in the break. More calls coming up straight ahead. We'll be back. Infowars.com. This medical tyranny is at the heart of the New World Order. It's the eugenics everything. And the system knows exactly what they're doing. They've got these dingbat doctors who are control freaks, many of them, who do whatever they're told. But you know what? We're getting the fluoride pulled out of the water. We're getting the bisphenol A pulled out of the plastics. And we're going to keep winning and winning and winning. We don't care if you laugh at us. We don't care what you say. We're standing up to you. You creepy, weirdo bootlickers. All right, I'm going to do this segment in the official radio show, but do 5 more minutes overdrive for internet only for people that are still holding. Let's go to Gus in California. Gus, you're on the air. Welcome.
Hey, Alex. I've been a listener for a long time, and I finally picked up the phone. But all you fluoride heads out there, you know, conspiracy nuts, I say, I took my children to the football game, Omaha, Omaha, and then I took them to the doctor and had their stomachs opened up, and you know, Alex, you know that fluoride's working. All their teeth in there were all white and shiny.
I appreciate your call, Gus. I tell you, good to hear from you, Jay in Utah. Jay, you're on the air. Go ahead, moving quick here.
Yes, just a quick statement and then a quick question for you. People really need to focus on helping Ron Paul win. His focus on state rights will help prevent some of these mandates that were the horror subject of the horror story that you just the last guest. There's a money bomb going on right now. People can phone from home to help the campaign.
Hey, Ron Paul is now in national polls. It's up at Infowars.com. Let's just get out to everybody. Is the most electable person against Obama. He's gaining points on Romney. He's in second place. And the parrots just keep saying, cannot win, cannot win, cannot win. We are the mind controllers. Do as we say, do as we say. It's the law to take the shots. It's the law to take the shots. We're a pack of liars. We're a pack of liars. And I'm just like, you know, shut up, Polly. Shut up. Shut up. I hear you. We got to get behind Ron Paul because win, lose, or draw, it's opening up people's minds to real issues. Anything else?
I was just wanted to say I was appalled at the bloodlust that was evident in the debate. This is around the point where Ron Paul was talking about a golden rule of foreign policy, and there was just bloodlust in people, in some of the people who were clapping or booing at that, but clapping at the other comments of the other candidates talking about just take us to war. They haven't learned anything.
Oh, no, no.
Not learned from history.
People, I heard talk show hosts this morning on the radio locally saying, Ron Paul's crazy. We do steal the oil. We need the goodies they have. Kill them. And they weren't joking. And they were saying that's the way it is. These morons don't know. The oil companies have shut off most of the oil in the West and Alaska more than all the Middle East combined. And that we pay for wars so that they can sell the oil to Asia and Europe. I mean, these idiots out there, you think big bankers that run our military are killing people to give you something, you moron idiots? They hate you more than they hate those Iraqis and Iranians, you idiots. I mean, they're just morons. They're idiots. And I hear you, the blood. But you noticed on the Twitter feeds, no one was buying Romney. And he was getting torn up. I should have covered that more. Anything else?
No, thank you.
I tell you, folks, you think torture, secret arrest is cute? I mean, man, they're going to take everything we got, folks. These criminals are up there selling tyranny, selling torture, selling secret arrest, selling all this evil. Because they need to be out in the open with it to get you to go along with it. They need to get normalized pure evil. I mean, the media, the so-called media, universally lies and says it's the law to take shots. I mean, they think you're morons. They think you're idiots.
Don't you mind people grinning in your face? Don't mind people grinning in your face. Yeah, just bear this in mind. A true friend is hard to find. Don't you mind people grinning in your face. You know your mother will talk about you, your sisters and your brothers too. Yes, don't care how you're trying to live, they'll talk about you still. Yes, but bear who this in mind. A true friend is hard to find. Don't you mind people grinning in your face. Don't mind people grinning.
That's right, all the smiley face control freaks that giggle and laugh at you while they run off the edge of a cliff like a bunch of gibbering idiots. Listen to Sunhouse on that one. Let's go ahead and go to Michael in California. Michael, you're on the air. Go ahead. Hey, Michael, come on down.
Hey, Alex. Hey, listen, 53-year-old white male, I'm proud to say I'm a white, I'm a Caucasian American, and it's politically incorrect for me to say I'm proud of my heritage.
Well, that's pretty evil. Nobody should be proud of their heritage. You should have a plastic corporate heritage of the New World Order, a vaccine system.
Well, Alex, you know something, you're totally serious in what you say, but you still make me laugh, because there's always going to be humor in seriousness. And I want to say, I have been awake now for about a year. I was semi-conscious for about 10 years of my 53 years, but you, I have to thank for doing your part in waking me up to what the hell is really going on in this world.
And the great part about waking up is it doesn't mean you've discovered everything. It just means you're awake and looking to discover and know that there's always something else going on.
And you're receptive to more truth.
Exactly, and you start learning how the con artists manipulate you.
Exactly, and you know something, Alex? The reason I called mainly, and I appreciate all these words you're saying, they're all true. I live in the crypto-fascist state of Northern California, and the train system is called the BART. You've heard of the BART system, Bay Area Rapid Transit? It's a huge train system that serves 9 counties in Northern California. Anyway, about 3 months ago, the TSA was beta testing a new poster. This poster has pictures of 9 faces on it. 8 of the faces, one of the faces...
No, sir, we broke all that a year ago. It's White Al-Qaeda. they're rebranding where all the terrorists are white, and they have all these videos out showing it too. So see, first they sell us that all the brown people are terrorists, and then hope that white folks go along with that. Then they sell all the brown folks that all the white people are terrorists. And again, they're just using race to manipulate people. Yes, I'm aware of those. We're just out of time. Thank you so much, sir. And again, they admit they're now rebranding Al-Qaeda to the guy in the John Deere hat, the domestic terrorist. Steve in Florida, you're on the air. Welcome.
Yeah, good afternoon, Alex. I had a couple suggestions. You were looking for alternative names to the so-called mainstream media. And this will hopefully, if you have time, lead into the main reason I called.
The discredited, no audience, so-called mainstream peacock, know-it-all, preening, sycophantic, traitor, prostitute, globalist minion, zombie controller, den of vipers of their father the liar.
That about covers it. I was thinking of TTN, which stands for Tyranny Transponder Network.
Hey, Tyranny Transponder Network. That's a good idea for them. Or how about just Pack a Liar Media? Or globalist, you know, traitor media. Anything else, sir?
Yeah, and then the other one, and this would tie in with what they've done with the food supply, et cetera. You know, you talk about BPA, bisphenol A. Well, we could call the media BPA, which would stand for Beast Propaganda Agency.
Ooh, Beast Propaganda Agency. You're right. Or New World Order Occupation Media. Absolutely powerful. Thank you so much for the call. All right, I'm sorry to everybody else. We'll get back to you tomorrow, Lord willing. Pray for us. We sure need it. We don't just believe in prayers. We depend on them. We don't believe in miracles. We depend on them. My aunt's got that as a little sign in the bathroom. And we're going to be back tonight, 7 o'clock. I'll be hosting the nightly news this evening. And boy, is it a big transmission. We have a new video at Infowars.com, Secrets of the Italian Cruise Ship Disaster.